We welcome you to another live edition of the Sports Box, brought to you by our sponsor, Showcase Sports in Hamilton. Showcase Sports for the elite athlete. And by our friends over at CrowdPlay. Download the free CrowdPlay app today and check them out at www.crowdplayapp.com for details. Ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.
Hey everybody, welcome to Cage My IQ. I'm your host, D-Bake. Joining with me today is UFC welterweight Brian Bam Bam Barbarina. How's it going, Brian?
It's going great, man. Thanks again for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. As you know, he competes in the UFC. He's been out since September, but he's going to be making his long-awaited return in the end of July against Jason Witt. How's it feel to be coming back?
It feels great. You know, it was a slow process. We had to build back from this emergency surgery, this kind of freak accident. So I've been taking it slow, building back and making sure that I'm able to return and able to be healthy. And it's been going great, you know, and all the tests we've been doing and everything, getting ready. You know, then I asked for a fight and this is who I got matched up with. And I'm excited to go back and put on a show for everybody.
It's crazy to think that, looking back at my notes, you've competed in three weight classes. Start out lightweight, and then I think you went up one, and then now you're at welterweight. How does that feel knowing that you've competed in several weight classes over your career so far?
Actually, I've competed at four weight classes. Mm-hmm. I did light heavyweight, middleweight, okay. Welterweight, and then lightweight. You know, I'm confident in my abilities, you know, competing at light heavyweight. It was back when I first started, I was a lot heavier then. But 185, you know, maybe that's in my future too still. You know, I fought there for a very long time. And then as I moved to the MMA lab and stuff, went down, fought 170 for a little bit, and then went down to 55s. And that cut was just a little too much. So I did, you know, one fight at 50 or two fights at 55 and then went to the UFC, fought a couple fights, and then, you know, made the move back to 70, where I feel comfortable, but, you know, not leaving at 185 for the future, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you've definitely had a good career. You fought a bunch of very good guys that are in the top five right now in the division, like Covington, Luque. Like, it's crazy to think that you've put on good shows against them, especially that Luque one, which could have went either way.
Yeah, that was a fun one for sure. Probably one of my favorite fights. Just I got to show a lot of my skills and everything too. And he's a tough game opponent, super nice guy. So it was a fun one.
Exactly. But let's dive into your early life to start out. But how was it like to grow up in Rancho Cucamonga?
You know, it was good. You know, I kind of lived, bounced around all over Southern California. You know, grew up in Pomona and then Montclair and then Claremont for a little bit, Altaloma, Rancho Cucamonga. So, you know, it was good. You know, me and my brothers, you know, we'd go outside. Back then, it was kind of a different kind of life, yeah. I feel, than it is these days. Safer in a sense where, like, you know, you go outside all day and, you know, your parents just tell you, hey, be back when the lights come on. So, you know, that was the kind of style we did and everything. And, you know, cruise around town on our bikes and skateboards and everything like that. But growing up, I got picked on quite a bit. I was heavy set, you know, a bigger kid. As I got into high school, it was not as much just because I was a bigger kid. But, you know, I never tried to find trouble, but trouble seemed to find me and my brothers. I have two brothers. They're a year younger than me. So, you know, we had to defend ourselves and got in some scraps and got into some mess in school and stuff like that. So, but overall it was good, you know, lived a good life in California. And, you know, after that, we ended up moving to Arizona after my freshman year of high school. So I played high school football at Altaloma High School. I played my freshman year there. And then, we moved to Arizona after that.
That's transitioning to my next question. How was moving to Arizona and playing linebacker in football? And when did you start playing football?
So, yeah, so I started playing football. Actually, I always wanted to play football. That was the dream, you know, growing up. That was the dream for me. I always had a ball in my hand, playing with my brothers, playing tackle with, you know, the local neighborhood kids. Football is where I was going to make my career. And, you know, my mom didn't let me play on a team, on a sport, contact sport, until I was in high school. And so I started playing football my freshman year of high school. And I did good. I played defensive line, offensive line in my freshman year in California, and suited out for varsity after the freshman season. Got my letter for varsity my freshman year. And then we moved to Arizona. And being the new kid, it was kind of a smaller town in Arizona called Prescott. Okay. And, you know, being the new kid in town and stuff like that, and they didn't really, you know my ability or anything like that. So they threw me on the JV team right away. And, you know, I tried some different positions. Like I said, I played D-line. Even then, I played D-line, O-line. And then started getting into some linebacker position. And that's where I really shined. Like, I even shined on the offensive line and everything too, just because I like to hit people. I don't know. Yeah. I liked the contact and running into them. So, you know, I played guard on offensive line, so I got to pull a lot and then, you know, crush into somebody around the corner. So, but after my, you know, after seeing me play and everything, I did the whole season of JV my sophomore year and then moved up to varsity and then played all through playoffs, the varsity my sophomore year. So I lettered there too, and then continued on and took my spot in the following years, and lettered all 4 years. And my senior year, I got defensive player of the year, All-State middle linebacker, All-Region middle linebacker, and had college offers to go play football at multiple colleges, and decided to turn them all down because I discovered MMA my junior year of high school and just fell in love with it.
I'll get to that in a second, but first, before I move on, what's the difference for you between Arizona and California?
You know, it's when you get to like Phoenix and stuff, it's, you know, it's not so much different. Obviously, it's desert. It's a lot hotter. Yeah. You got to deal with temperature change a little bit. California kind of has that like all around nice weather, I feel like. But the city living, you know, you're going to have, you know, the city life either way. I just felt like California had just a natural vibe for me. But when I moved to Arizona, you know, I love Arizona too and spent a lot of time there.
Did you have a favorite football team growing up? I know you said like you'd like to do it with your brothers and whatnot. Did you have a team growing up?
I did. And still my team is the Raiders.
Nice. Yeah. We got to play him this year. I'm an Eagles fan, so we're traveling to Vegas.
They don't have the best track record or anything like that, or but you know, I don't know why. There was no particular reason why I always liked the Raiders, but I just, you know, I felt like they always went out there and hit hard, so that's just kind of where it stuck.
And the black hole, they're intimidating, so you can't beat that.
Yeah.
But the next question I had for you is I read about it. There's something about your father, and it kind of ran with me. In what aspect do you feel both American and Colombian? I know you say you walk out with both flags whenever you fight, and it had something to do with, I believe your dad is Colombian.
Yeah. My dad's from Colombia. He came here when he was younger with his parents, and then, you know, stayed here, went to school here and everything, and then. Mm-hmm. You know, as he got older, he went back to Colombia for a little bit and then came back again. But my mom, my dad met his wife in high school. And so they were, you know, they met in high school, got married, had us and everything like that. So my mom's American. She's actually Mexican-American. Oh, and, nice. You know, my dad's from Colombia. So a big part growing up for me is, you know, just representing, you know, the country my dad came from, you know, and watching my dad when I'm growing up and the hard work he's putting in and everything like that, it just meant the most to me that I was Colombian and that I was representing him and representing his country as well as you know, America. So growing up, it wasn't just, you know, you're American, you're a white kid. No. We're Colombian. That's what we are. We're Colombian kids. You know, that's where our ancestors are from. That's where, you know, we're Colombian warriors. Our family comes from a line of Columbia Warriors and fighters and people who push and work hard and get with the things that they want to get. So that just really stuck in me since I was a kid. And so when I started fighting, I walked out with just the Colombian flag. And then, you know, I am Colombian American and I'm proud to be an American. I'm, you know, and it's a big part of my life as well. And I don't speak Spanish anymore. I'm working on it again. But when I was little, I spoke fluent Spanish. My grandparents lived with us from Colombia. And so they only spoke Spanish. And so when they were living with us, I spoke fluent Spanish. And then as they moved back to Colombia, my mom does not speak Spanish. And so my dad just like didn't keep up with it. And then we kind of lost it, which part of it was like he didn't keep up with it because of my mom. But also, you know, when he came here, he had a lot of trouble for speaking Spanish, you know, and got a lot of fights, got picked on, you know, a lot of issues growing up in America for only speaking Spanish and having a hard time. He didn't want us to have that hard time, you know.
Yeah.
So kind of delayed on it. But yeah, I represent Colombia and America. Colombian flag's always in the inside because that's what it is inside, and American on the outside.
It's a little bit of you remembering the past and then also celebrating the present, because like you said, your dad is Colombian and then your mom is Mexican-American. So it's a good way to honor both sides by carrying both flags instead of having to choose between one. It's like you got a little bit of both inside you, so why not do carry both out?
Absolutely.
But that brings me to the what you brought up before. How were you introduced to MMA?
So like I said, I found MMA my junior year of high school. I was just watching TV and came across The Ultimate Fighter first season. Fell in love with it instantly. You know, I've always been into boxing. You know, my dad has watched boxing. We watched boxing with my dad. And then also, like, you know, me and my brothers roughhousing around all the time. We had, you know, got some boxing gloves and scrapped it out, you know, do it with our cousins and stuff like that as well. So it was like when I seen MMA, I was like, man, this is awesome. Like, I want to do this. Like, it's like the real competition right here. Like, this is the real deal. You get to see which person's going to be better that day, you know, who really put in the most effort and did all the work and gets to shine. So I just fell in love with it then. Me and my brothers went and ordered some MMA gloves off some website. I couldn't even tell you the website now, but ordered some MMA gloves, and they weren't even the puffy ones. I don't think the puffy MMA gloves even existed then. They were the 4 ounces, like real deal, ready to go.
Yeah.
Paper thin, not even really, you know, padded. And ordered them and started underground fight club, you know, at school, you know, just try to spread word around school. Like, hey, you know, we're getting into MMA. We're starting a little club to practice and kind of have some underground fights and whatever, you know, who wants to, you join or whatever, and we'll get some weights, and you know, as long as they're close, we'll match you up or whatever, get some fights. So we'd have fights like every other day, whether it be at a park, in a backyard, you know, at even, gosh, I hate saying this, but we did it in like the locker room at the school a few times. That didn't work out very long, but yeah. So I mean, just fell in love with it, man. And you know, I didn't have any teacher or anything at that time, and so it was just like me and my brothers watching these fights and then practicing on each other. And my dad showed us, you know, basic fight skills from when we were younger to protect ourselves and everything. So that took us a long way. And my brothers wrestled 1 year, so they had some wrestling ability. And then I decided not to wrestle because, you know, football was the dream. But so that's how I got into it. And then just kind of went from there. I ended up, you know, moving to Minnesota for a year for 3 years, and then found a local gym in the town I lived in. Was just literally a group of guys called the Stomp Factory, and guys in a garage who fought locally and everything. So I trained with them, and 6 months later, I had my first fight.
And I know you have gloves in the background, those yellow ones. Those your MMA gloves or boxing gloves that you train with?
No, these are just actually. So I'm at my coach's house right now, and these are actually Colombian boxing.
Oh, okay, gloves. Yeah.
So it just so happened is that you know, a buddy or a guy who used to train at the gym, you know, he stayed with my coach for a while, and he's Colombian as well. So that's where these boxing gloves are from. from when he was staying here too. They're just like a decoration, just some everything for now. You know, I'm sure they were used at one point, but right now they rest up.
That's cool. How difficult would you say it is fighting Southpaw compared to Orthodox? Because I know a lot of fighters normally fight Orthodox, and not a lot do Southpaw.
Yeah, you know, all growing up, see, I'm right-handed, and normally you have a right-handed fighter is an Orthodox fighter. You know, they got their power in their rear hand. All growing up, I just felt more comfortable as a Southpaw. I felt like I moved better. I felt like, you know, everything worked better for me as a Southpaw. And so I stuck with it. I, you know, even training wise, people tried to tell me everywhere I went was like, no, you need to fight Orthodox. Like, you're right-handed, you need to be Orthodox. Nah, you know, whatever. But I always, I can switch stances. I can go Orthodox. Yeah. I can go Southpaw. So I helped many people, you know, running South Orthodox the whole time, you know, all camp for them and stuff like that. And I mix it up a little bit in my fights, but Southpaw was just always more comfortable to me. Move in and out. You know, I got a strong right hand that I, you know, lead with or whatever. And then, you know, I feel like I have power on my left to also put somebody away. So it's definitely different. I feel like when you get a Southpaw against Orthodox, there's some advantages, but it can go both ways. It's just, you know, are you able to work the edge a little better than the other person? So.
Do you see it as a little bit of advantage because it's kind of not the norm? Because usually with your Southpaw, usually you're favoring your left hand, but you actually favor your right hand. So you kind of lead with that and then use your left hand, which they kind of don't expect to happen, knowing that you're right-handed.
Yeah, you know, I think so. You know, I think most Southpaws are left-handed. So I think they get a little more pop off my lead hand. And I'm pretty active with it, so I feel like maybe there's some advantage. But these days, you know, the way MMA is blowing up and growing is, you know, most of these gyms are bringing in Southpaws when they don't have Southpaws, you know, and stuff like that to get ready for fights. So it's a lot different nowadays. And I think, you know, you just got to – if you're going to Southpaw versus Orthodox guy, you just got to really take advantage of those little holes.
What made you join MMA Lab, and then why did you eventually move to Jimmo full-time back in 2017?
The original way I found the MMA Lab is, you know, I was in Minnesota for a while, fought there for a long time, then moved back to Arizona, was training in Prescott again, kind of running my own thing, and just with whoever wanted to show up, me and my brothers, because my brothers fought too, so... Then Eric Prindle, he was a Bellator heavyweight champ, Grand Prix champ at one time. He rolled into the gym one day and asked if he can get some training in. So I was like, yeah, sure. And he was there for the week. And he's like, hey, I'm going down to Phoenix to try some gyms out. Do you want to come with me? I was like, sure. Yeah, let's go. I'll go. That's a great opportunity. So we went to a couple different gyms, and then that afternoon we went to the MMA Lab for the elite practice. And, you know, we went, I trained and was like, man, this is where I need to be. And I, you know, it's an hour from my house. So I drove back, we went back home, and I told my wife, I said, if fighting is what I'm going to do, I'm going to try to make it in fighting. I need to be at this gym. And she said, okay. She was a nurse. So she's like, okay, all right, I'll start applying for jobs and we'll move down there. She applied for jobs. And that weekend on Monday, she got a response to come down for an interview. So we left at like 4 a.m. She went to her interview and everything early. I went and trained all day. And then, you know, got back, she got the job. So then it was like, we want you to start right away. So we were traveling down every day as she started and everything. And, you know, while she was at work, I was at the gym. And then when I had time, I was going around and looking at houses to rent and, you know, found houses and then moved there and would train at the lab the whole time. There's a great group of people at the MMA Lab, you know, a lot of top-notch guys, Benson Henderson, you know, Jerry Cannonier, David Michaud, all those guys. And, you know, it was a great experience in my career and be able to grow there and got so many fights with them and then into the UFC and fought so many fights with them. I love those guys. You know, John Crouch, Benson Henderson, like I said, all those coaches have been, you know, awesome. It was a choice to move for my family to go, you know, to Tennessee. And then we wanted to start a farm. We wanted to just raise our kids. I have three kids, so we wanted to raise them, you know, a little bit differently and live our lives a little differently. So we wanted to have like green pastures and stuff like that. Yeah. You can't get that in Arizona, really. So we decided, you know, we looked around. I fought a fight in Nashville, Tennessee, and was like, you know what, we're going to stay for a week and look around. And so we did, and really liked it. Decided, you know, I know people that I trained with at the lab. Scott Holtzman is in Knoxville, you know. Okay. Luke Sanders was in Nashville. So I was like, either way, you know, I have guys I can train with. Like, they have their gyms they go to and everything too. So, long story short, we moved to Tennessee, bought our property and everything like that, and started building a farm and raising our kids differently. And, you know, that's, you know, the support from the lab, like I said, the people were amazing. You know, I'll never forget what Benson told me when I told him that we were moving and, you know, going to start a farm and everything. He said, "We're not here. We're here to make all your dreams come true. You know, I'm here to be a part to help you build up to make all your dreams come true. Not just, you know, you have to be here and make these dreams come true. If that's what you guys want, that's what you're dreaming about." He's like, "I'm super happy for you guys. I'm glad, you know, we're part of it and everything like that." So I will never forget that. You know, he's like a brother to me. And then. Yeah. But as I moved to Tennessee, I was training at Shield Systems for a little bit. That's where my guy Scott Holtzman trains. And then he actually introduced me to Jimmo. He used to come. He cornered Scott all the time. So he used to come to the lab every now and then. And but I met him, officially became like buddies with him in Nashville.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, I know Jeff's a wizard. Jeff Jimmo at Jimmo here in North Carolina. He's a wizard. So I travel here. And man, I feel like it's been a great move for this point of my career and everything. Like it's hands down, like the best place for me to be, especially with the injuries I've gone through lately, my back, you know, this emergency surgery. He really is able to form every practice for me and, you know, pace close to, I mean, my coach, Jeff, he runs my diet. He runs my conditioning. He runs my workouts. He does it all. I stay at his house. I mean, I leave, you know, Monday from my house, come to North Carolina, and then go back on Friday and spend the weekend with the family. I did do one fight camp after I moved to Tennessee with the lab, and I did 4 weeks out there. And that was the hardest 4 weeks of my life, being away from my family. Everything was, it was just crazy, man. So, being here at Jimmo, at least I get to go home, you know, be there on the weekend, but I get solid training out here. I have like a great group of guys I'm training with here. You know, the team's only building more and more. It's great to see. Like I said, I have the best coach in the world, right here in my corner and, you know, able to fix my practices to exactly what I need, especially coming off of, you know, the back surgery and now this emergency surgery is like, you know, we're able to take it slow and kind of build into it and everything. So it's the best gym for sure.
How long is the commute from Carolina to Tennessee?
For me, it's a 4.5 hour drive. Yeah. So it wouldn't be, you know, worth for me to go all the way home and then come back the next day. So I come, he allows me to stay here at his house. And I stay here for the week and then head home.
It's just like a Monday through Friday job, except for you get to be home on Friday. And then do you leave Monday morning or Sunday night?
So I leave Monday morning. Like I said, I try to stay and spend all the time I can with my family. And, you know, it's super hard to leave. You know, probably the hardest part about camp is just leaving my family, especially after, you know, this recent emergency surgery and everything, almost dying. You know, it's the hardest part of the whole thing, and you know, makes it really tough.
Yeah. What's a typical training week look like? I know you train Monday to Thursday, but
Actually I train Monday to Friday. I do my training in the morning. Okay. So that way I can head out, and usually Fridays, depends, it's usually a little bit earlier, so that way I can get on the road a little bit earlier. So I get home midday. But a typical training week is, you know, I go in, I'm getting older. I've had some surgeries and some issues. So I go in and get my warm up in right there, first thing in the morning, get a good warm up, good stretching, get ready to go, to give these young guns who are coming up some real fire. But yeah, we do a striking practice, to start off, and it's, just a lot of, you know, drills, a lot of drilling, you know, drilling's going to make you a killer. That's for sure. Sharpening up. And like I said, my coach is keeping close eye on everything I'm doing, correcting things that need to be corrected, making sure we're doing it, the right way and being sharp and staying under our feet and everything. So, have a great, training session, great, you know, drill work, in the striking department, and then do some like light movement stuff with it, towards the end, and then really get into a little bit of a break and then go into a wrestling, grappling situation. A lot, some wall work, you know, kind of depends on the day, but it's really wrestling heavy. We got a lot of good wrestlers in the room now, and, you know, it's been really great to have them. And then after, you know, we get some hard wrestling. So like I said, again, a lot of drilling, a lot of low impact, drilling, working the techniques and stuff, really getting the details, in there to be sharp. So, but then we finish off with some, you know, more intensity, you know, some drills, takedown drills and get ups, stuff like that, just to really get the blood flowing, get the conditioning out there, that wrestling conditioning. And, then another little break and get into some jiu-jitsu, work my grappling, work my ground game. Again, a lot of technique, a lot of details, really working on improving my ground game even more. I think people, you know, don't expect me to be, you know, good with submissions or anything, but I am, and I have them in my toolbox if I need them. I just like to stand and bang though. Yeah. But, yeah, always working on that too as well. Get some live rolls in at the end, and then, pretty much set done for the day, for that morning, and then, do like a conditioning in the afternoon.
How is being a father of the three kids, and what do you do in your free time away from MMA?
Father of three kids is the best thing in the world to me. It's everything. It's everything. You know, I have two boys and a little girl, and, man, I'm truly blessed. I love get away from MMA is, you know, spending time with my family, which is not really getting away from MMA, because really the only sport we watch these days is fights, and they're like every weekend. But, you know, the kids are into it. You know, they love it too. We make a thing of it. We go to the store, they get, you know, a bag of candy, and we get popcorn and, you know, decide what we're having during the fights. Is it wings? Is it pizza? Whatever. You know, for me, it's, you know, a little bit different since I got a diet a little bit. But
yeah,
yeah, I mean, it's the most rewarding, best thing ever. Like being a dad, you know, get to say that, to have the title as dad is the most rewarding thing and the best, you know, not job. It's not even a job. It's just a, you know, the best thing ever. And, you know, in my free time, I love, you know, we spend time with them at the farm, doing everything. You know, like I said, it's really hard when you come off an injury and you're home every single day with them, getting to spend all that time with them, and then, you know, getting back into it and having to be away, getting into camp. And, you know, it's the hardest thing in the world for me. But besides that, which my kids also enjoy too, is video games. Play video games. I you know, I have a Twitch. DCTB_BamBam is my Twitch handle, and you can follow me on there and everything. But I go on there, play games, man, especially more so when I'm in camp. Not so much when I'm home. I don't play when I'm home, just because my focus is on spending time with the kids and,
yeah,
you know, doing stuff on the farm too with them and everything. But when I'm in camp, it's, you know, between my rest sessions, I get games in, man. We game pretty good. I play with my kids as well. So, you know, just something that we can interact with each other, whether it be on my phone or my computer or whatever, something we could play together and interact with each other. But like I said, I have a Twitch. You can go follow me on there. You know, I'm getting better. I'm not the best. I'm not like, you know, I play a lot of Call of Duty, so that's mainly the game I play, especially at the moment. I've run a couple tournaments on my Twitch channel, so yeah, go check it out.
I definitely will. But knowing that you're kind of into like a schedule where like you're there Monday to Friday, do you come home and then try not to mess up what their schedule is, knowing that they know you're away for like the majority of the week, then you come back on the weekend? Do you come back and try not step on toes on what they're doing and then just come in?
It's like when I get back, it's whatever they want to do, we're doing it. Yeah. Whatever they want to play, we're playing. Whatever they want to, they don't really ask to, go a lot of places. If they have sports, I'm there 100%. Yeah. Like that sucks. I was going to all their sports stuff, and then, being gone, I'm missing a lot of it. So, they fill me in. My wife sends me videos and, FaceTime and stuff like that. Thank God for technology.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we get there, it's all them. It's all their time. Whatever we got to do. Obviously, we live on a farm, so there's, some things that I have to get done come the weekend and, help my wife out as well. So things I got to get done on the farm, but that doesn't mean they can't be part of it. So we get together on it and we get the chores done and then we do whatever they want to do, whatever they want to play. And, one kid wants to play something completely different than the other kid. So yeah, we're going to start with you and then we're going to go, we'll play theirs and you guys can play, or if you don't want to play, that's fine too. But and then we'll get to yours and we'll play whatever you want to play. And so then we just kind of keep going round and round and round, just like I said, it's their time, not my time. It's their time.
How's living the Tennessee lifestyle compared to living on the West Coast?
I will never move back to California ever again. I mean, it's just so expensive. It's insane. I don't even know how we lived there. I mean, I'm sure back in the day it wasn't as bad, but when I moved away, that was it. I knew right then I was never coming back because it's just so expensive and everything. And to compare it to Tennessee is affordable. We got our property and everything, and it's just California has, they have property like we have kind of, California has kind of a mix of everything. They have desert, they have mountains, they have pastures, they have grassy plains, they have beaches, whatever you want, you pretty much get it all in California. But you're giving your damn whole life to it and your right arm and your leg and whatever, like it's that expensive. So deciding on Tennessee was a great option. We absolutely love it. We love Tennessee. The weather, the winters aren't real bad. They're really light. The land is exactly what we wanted. People are so friendly and nice and helpful. Like we have the freaking best neighbors in the world.
Yeah.
We get to live our country life and have, sweet tea on the porch and, run the cattle and work all the goats and man, it's chickens running around getting fresh eggs. It's the best, man. We absolutely love Tennessee. Like we're so happy with our move.
And it's probably definitely a lot quieter too.
yeah, definitely. Like you get out of the hustle bustle of the city, even compared to Phoenix, living there is get out of the hustle bustle of it all and just kind of get to sit back and move at your own pace and really, really enjoy life. And it's something beautiful.
Now, how pumped are you to get back into the cage after almost a year long layoff? And what do you expect from, Jason Witt, your opponent?
Yeah, I'm super excited to get back into the cage. I was coming off of – I fought Anthony Ivey, and before that fight, I was coming off a year layoff – actually, a little over a year layoff from – I had back surgery.
Yeah.
Fought that fight, and then after that fight, it was like, okay, we're going on a run. Like, we're running to the top now. Like, we're ready to go. Got booked with Daniel. I was looking for a fight right after it. Went to Abu Dhabi, corner somebody, was telling them, listen, I'll fight anybody at 170, 185. I don't even care if there's a 205 fallout. I will fight them, while I'm here in Abu Dhabi. If you have one for me 2 weeks down in Abu Dhabi, I'll just stay the 2 weeks and fight, whatever. And said yes to multiple fights while I was there, actually. And then they just didn't end up panning out. Not on my end, like my end was ready to go. You know, it just didn't end up working out, sadly. And then I got the Daniel Rodriguez fight a little bit later on, and that was on a 3 weeks notice. And but I was ready. Like, I was staying training active. I was still coming to North Carolina, everything ready to go, and was in the best shape I've ever been in. Had this crazy freak accident happen with this emergency surgery. You know, put me right back out. So it was a little depressing at first, but, you know, bouncing back, it was hard too. Like, you know, right with this injury is so much different than my back. You know, my back, it was, you know, you could do this, this, and this, and then slowly get to this, this, and this. With this surgery, it was, you should probably retire, probably shouldn't fight anymore. You know, the doctors are like, we don't even know if you're going to be able to take a punch. You know, you're not able to wear protective wear. You're not able to do all this. So, you know, we don't even know. Like, you probably should retire. I'm like, no, not yet. And they're like, okay, well, it's on you, but you got to take it slow, test it out, because honestly, we don't know if you're even going to be able to. And I was like, okay, well, that's all I'm going to do, is I have to test it out. I can't just stop without knowing, you know. If I was got back into training and it didn't work out, I'd be okay. Like, I tried. But the fact is that I have to try. And even so, it's so hard. Like I said, it's harder on my family. You know, I almost died. So it was, you know, it's been tough, emotional, really emotional, this camp and everything, and leading into it. So, but we're doing it and we're taking it slow. And, you know, we did tests already and built in and worked out slowly and, you know, got ready to go. Felt like, yep, we can do this. So, you know, asked for a fight. I said, give me anybody. It didn't matter who it was, whether it be a name, no name. You know, they offered me Jason Witt. Awesome. I'll take it. Signed it down. He's like, what do you think about Jason Witt? Done. Send contract. Send the contract. Let's go. So, you know, after this layoff, it's like, I'm excited. I'm ready to get back. I'm working hard, putting in the time, really making my time away from my family, making the most of it. You know, I'm not away from them just to lollygag or mess around here. When I'm in the room and I'm working, it's 100%. I'm working to be the best I could ever be. So I feel good after this, you know, after the time. It was great to spend some time with my family. It's great that I get to fight again after not knowing. Jason Witt, you know, he's had, I think he's had some ups and downs in the octagon, but you know what? That doesn't matter. I expect the best Jason Witt there is to come fight night. I expect him to try to push me past any limit, and I'm making sure that whatever it is, he's not going to break me. He's not going to push me past anything I haven't seen in the room. He's not going to show me anything I haven't seen in the room. So we're getting prepared. I'm excited. I expect the best from him, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to putting on a show. That's for sure.
Yep. Yep. What should we expect from Brian in the future?
Making my way up the rankings. Or, you know what? Rankings don't even matter. Like, I feel like rankings kind of change all the time. Like, I'm not even sure how much weight there is really on the rankings. So it doesn't matter. What you can expect from me is to continue to fight anybody. Whether, like I said, it could be a debut, could be no name, could be number next to his name, could be the champ. I don't care. The goal is to get to the champ. So whoever's they offer me is who I'm going to fight, and I will get there. And that's what you can expect from me in the future. And you may even expect maybe see me go up to 185. We'll see. I mean, these 170 cuts aren't terrible, but, you know, I also feel really good at 85 as well. So we'll see. Just continue to fight and continue to climb to the champ.
I usually ask all my guests this question because it makes good use to ask it. Does it change you with the training, whether you're fighting at the Apex with the small cage compared to a live event with the bigger cage, or do you just train the same way?
I train the same way. You know, it doesn't matter. The Apex, you know, if it's not at the Apex, that means fans are going to be there, which honestly doesn't matter to me. When I went to the Apex, you know, it's different for some people. For me, is even with the fans, you hear that. I hear the fans leading up to the cage, everything during the announcement, the roars, whatever. But as soon as they say, "Are you ready? Are you ready?" And I'm, "Yep." Boom. It just goes silent. Like, it's just, I don't really hear the fan. Every now and then you'll hear a roar, you know, you'll hear something, if something crazy happens or whatever, you land a good punch, you might hear it. And then it comes right back to silence for me. So finding that the apex wasn't a problem at all, you know, I didn't mind silence. It actually made it even easier to hear my corners. That was the only difference, is, you know, being able to hear the corners better. But, you know, it doesn't really matter. Obviously, you know, fans are coming back. That's awesome. I have a lot of support, a lot of family that wants to come to the fights, especially, you know, now that they're, you know, allowing fans back and everything. So, but training doesn't change. You know, I'm not even training in a cage. You know, I train in the room. It's terrible to train in a cage. Like, honestly, it's terrible. Your hands, everything, your body gets all scratched up by the cage and bruised up, and it's terrible to train in a cage. Like, if I'm gonna do in a cage, I'm gonna do some rounds and be done. Like, most of my days are on the mat with a padded walls and everything. You know, I'll say a little bit of trauma and discomfort for when I get in the octagon.
I know, as a fan watching when they first did the Apex, I was kind of skeptical about having no fans there and hearing everything. But then one of the things I loved that they added was the tweets that all the celebrities and fighters were sending out. And then even with the fans coming back, they kept it. So I watched it this Saturday, and I saw that they had kept the tweets going. I'm like, that's really cool, getting the aspects and like the round by round predictions from like other fighters or celebrities, because it added to the product on top of the fans.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I really like that feature. You know, you get to see like kind of what other fighters are thinking of the fight, how it's going and everything. Yeah. I do really like the feature of showing those.
One of the last questions I have for you, before we get going, what advice could you give upcoming amateurs looking to make it pro?
You know, get some experience. You know, you get that cage comfort. You know, get in there, get comfortable being in the octagon, being in a cage. You know, putting on a show. You know, but the biggest thing I can tell an amateur is, even before you fight and everything, before you're thinking about fighting, go to a gym, find a good gym if you can, or you know, and just be consistent. Whatever gym you choose and everything. The biggest thing is be consistent and be committed to it, because you're going to have to continue to learn forever. Like, this sport, if you stop learning, you're dead. Like, you know, you need to continue to learn and get better and improve. So being consistent is the biggest thing. Get in the gym, be consistent, you know, train over and over and over again, and try to learn as much as you can in every aspect, striking, grappling, wrestling. Even if you don't, you know, I'm not really a wrestler. It doesn't matter. Like, in MMA, you're going to need it. So, you know, learn as much as you can and be consistent in the gym. Show up every single day. That is the best advice I can give, is to show up every single day to the gym and be in those classes learning. And then once you get your amateur fights, get comfortable in the cage. And, you know, people put a lot of weight on these amateur fights. He's – you know, whatever, 4-0, whatever. It's like, well, they're amateur fights. You know, when you get to a pro, you're going to fight some guys, and they may be cans too. And, you know, you can get up there and get a record, but the amateurs are just more for the experience. You know, you want the experience, get used to the fans, get used to just being in there and putting that pressure. So, I mean, the biggest thing is on the training side. Get on the training side, put in the work there, be consistent, and the rest will take care of itself with all the hard work you put in.
Last question. Could you see yourself as a coach in the future?
You know, talked about this a little bit with my coach as well, but I used to coach, like help train people and stuff like that early on in my career, hold mitts and just teach stuff like that and everything. And it was more so because I was lacking training partners. So I needed to elevate the training partners that I had to help me get ready for fights and stuff like that as well. And then, you know, when I made the move to the lab, it was at that time I decided, okay, I'm not going to teach anymore. I'm not going to do any training, no mitts holding, no nothing. I'm going to put all my focus into my training and do it like that. And there's advantages definitely to coaching, like, especially if you're still fighting, you know, it helps with your memory, with your mind, and, you know, going through these, you know, combinations and techniques and everything, because it refreshes your memory.
Yeah.
But for me, I don't know. I don't know. I love to help, you know, everybody I can. And especially while I'm doing it, I'll do all I can to help my teammates. And maybe when I'm done, if, you know, somebody needs rounds or needs me to come in and give some work or whatever, I'll definitely do that. But I don't think I'm going to be a coach. I think I'm going to get away from it, disappear when I'm done. Like, that's honestly, that's the goal. Like, you know, all these people who are fighting to be rich and whatever, and be out in social media and have this highlight, like me, I'm just trying to get enough money so I can disappear when it's all over. So me and my family can just gone. I'm going to be off social media. I'm going to be off it all, man. I'm going to just go and disappear and live my farm life.
I was about to say, go disappear and live on the farm and then just hang out there.
Absolutely.
But I would like to thank you so much for coming on with me, give some of your time out away from training. And I wish you the best of luck this July in your return against Jason Witt. Gage, my IQ will definitely be in your corner and rooting for you.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. Like I said, I'm looking forward to putting on a show, and just want to thank all my supporters out there, everybody who's, you know, following me, ever supporting me, especially during the down times of the emergency surgery and all the surgeries I had and the time away from the octagon. The support that people continue to show me is amazing. Thank you to all my sponsors and everybody. Of course, the biggest thanks is to my wife and my kids for their never-ending support and being there always.
And then you can catch Brian on Instagram, and you can also catch him on Twitch, like you said before, where he plays video games on there time to time. So catch him out on there. What are your handles?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Brian_Barbarina. On Facebook, I have a fan page. It's just Brian Barbarina that you can find. And then my Twitch, DCTV_BamBam. Get me on there on Twitch, guys. Come game with me, hang out, and talk fights, talk about the day, talk about training. We talk about it all in there while we're gaming.
Yeah, I'll definitely be adding you on there when I get off here.
Awesome.
When we go live, we go live on Twitch. We do recaps of the events on Monday nights. So we just did one last night. So for this past Saturday, so we go live, and then one of them's on Twitch. So
awesome.
Just started building that up. But once again, I want to thank you for coming on, and I hope you have a nice rest of your day.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it again. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thank you very much. Once again, that was Brian Bam Bam Barbarina. I would like to thank him again for coming on. Once again, this is Cage by IQ, the best place for MMA content. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch, and then don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube page where all of our content is at. We do previews, recaps, and then, of course, we do interviews like this one here with Brian Barbarina. And then, once again, I'm your host, Daniel Bakley. And then we have a sponsor now. The sponsor is 99 Jersey. Use promo code SportsBoxShow20 at checkout to receive 20% off your next purchase. If there's a jersey that you want, whether it's a movie or a sports team, 99 Jersey is the place to go. Once again, use promo code SportsBoxShow20 at checkout to receive 20% off your next purchase. So be the first to rep your team, and then go let them know that Cage by IQ sent you. But once again, I want to thank you guys for tuning in, and thank Brian Barbarina for coming on to do this interview with me. And I am D-Bake, and you guys have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for watching this episode of Cage My IQ on the Sports Box. Please remember to follow us on all of our social media outlets. On Facebook at Sports Box Show, Twitter at Sportsbox Show, Instagram at The Sportsbox Show. Find us on YouTube and join Outside the Box, our Facebook sports discussion group. The Sports Box is brought to you by our sponsor, Showcase Sports in Hamilton. Showcase Sports for the elite athlete. And also our friends over at CrowdPlay. Download the free CrowdPlay app today and use promo code THEBOX at sign up for 10 free points. Thank you for joining us.